Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Well, hello. I'm feeling surprisingly sprightly today, given that I've been up since 5 in the morning. I feel like since Alpha's stopped breastfeeding, not that he had much of a routine, but it's all changed. So now I'm doing the Early Doors Club. So hello to everyone, but especially everyone who's been up since the crack of dawn. And there's a few parallels with a friend of mine, which is why I thought she'd be the perfect guest today, because our journeys have actually been literally the polar opposite. She is the most amazing singer. She's a classically trained jazz singer, and she's also just recently celebrated the first birthday of her baby girl, Rose. So she's just slightly older than Alf. So I just thought it'd be great to chat about her first year of parenthood and pregnancy, because we've actually joked about how polar opposite our whole experience has been. So it's Natalie Rushdie. I don't know why I said it like I'm a game show host. It's Natalie Rushdie.
Just introduce me wherever I go. That would be great.
It is always nice to get introduced.
We have been the complete opposites. And for example, you read no books. I read 9 books. Zaf and I have been together for 10 years.
We were together for 10 minutes.
Yeah. I planned everything to a T. You're not really a planner. So it's been interesting that how both of us have been doing different things, but effectively it really doesn't matter as long as both of our children are sort of happy and sort of healthy and doing what they need to do to grow and thrive. So it's interesting to see two different people coming together, basically.
I think this is like super interesting, because I want to go into like all the different parts of your journey, but yeah. I think often like people give advice based on their own experience, but even from what we're like the conversations we're about to have, like we forget that our experience, our circumstances, our personalities and what we like, and then our baby's personalities and what they like, it's like everyone's experience is so unique and different. Yeah.
And I think people don't realize that what's your sort of living situation, what's your life, what's your personality. Like for me, my personality works better if I know I have all the facts in front of me. I want to know everything, every single thing that could go wrong and thing could go right. And I was listening to a previous podcast when you said, I don't want to hear any birth stories. I wanted to hear all the birth stories, so I knew where to go with that. So I wasn't shocked or, you know, and I could make the decision. But then I think what really helped me in pregnancy, you sort of have to learn, and becoming a mum, who you actually are and what makes you tick and what's the best way to go forward. I felt I had to make decisions before I was giving birth. What type of birth did I want to have? I didn't want a holistic birth. That's just not me. That's not who I am. And I wanted a very sort of clinical, this is what's going to happen and this is how we're going to go forward, which you're completely the opposite. And both ways are fine.
By the way, for everyone listening, sorry to interrupt, but we have a positive birth story coming up.
I know, it's very exciting.
If you're listening and you're pregnant, I am actually so excited to hear Natalie's story, because it's a positive one. So there are no trigger warnings. There are no, it does happen. It can happen.
Yeah.
So why don't we start right back to the very beginning, even though I'm desperate to talk to you about Rose as well. Like you mentioned, you and your husband, Zaf, have been together for 10 years.
Yeah.
Was it a very much, you said that you like things to be in control. Was it very much a very planned pregnancy?
It was a very planned pregnancy. I think the thing is that we thought we were together for 10 years, but obviously we would have like to have had a child slightly earlier. I love the fact that we had 10 years together, we grew together, we've been traveling together, we had a house together, so we were ready. But obviously it was a lot more difficult to get pregnant than we thought it would be, and that took a long time. But then, yeah, it was definitely planned. That was
for anyone listening who is going through, you mentioned of course that it took you a while to get pregnant. What was it like for you, and what kept you going, and what kept you positive, and what advice or knowledge would you give anyone listening who is still on their fertility journey?
I know a lot of people say, oh, relax, but it's just one of those situations you can't relax in. And I remember we were doing a family Christmas, and I just said to staff, and they just had a baby, and I was so happy for them, but I was just like, I can't go, I can't sit after us being trying for years and sit at a Christmas dinner and pretend that I'm, of course I was happy for them, but I didn't want to sit there and be like, okay, you have got the one thing that I am dying to have. There's no advice, there's nothing that makes it easier. It's just, I think, people accepting how hard it is. And you know, you see so many friends get pregnant and then people say, I'll get pregnant straight away, and then you're like,
I suppose it's that thing as well that I imagine if you were together for a long time and asking, people were probably constantly saying, so when are you going to have a baby? Which is what everybody likes to say.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. And we had that a lot all the time. But I think it's definitely telling, you know, your closest friends that you feel that would be able to sympathize with that, and your family, and just say, look, I'm really struggling with this. So it kind of takes the pressure away. So I just kind of was like, oh God, no, we don't want babies, we don't have children. And my friends were really shocked that I really wanted a baby, because I'd kept it so under wrapped.
What were your feelings when you found out you were pregnant? And then was it all positive? Because obviously you wanted this little Rose that we now know she is so much. Were you just straight away like, yes, I can't wait? And how did it impact your pregnancy?
I was super excited, but I was terrified as well, because you've got, even though you find out you're pregnant, you've got a long way to go to get to the finish line. And that really sort of stressed me out. And I was so unwell. Like, I genuinely, and I think people fear saying they hate being pregnant or they hate giving birth or all this kind of stuff, because people are like, oh, but you're so lucky to be pregnant. Yes, you are lucky to be pregnant. But at the same time, I hated being pregnant. I was sick the whole time. I felt awful. I lost a stone in the first 3 months of being pregnant. And then as soon as I hit 12 weeks and felt slightly better, we had a national lockdown. So I wasn't allowed to see my friends or celebrate. We told our family over Zoom, we broke all the news on Zoom. So there was a huge stress, and just sort of, I was so paranoid that I was going to lose her. So many women had miscarriages, you know, family members have had miscarriages. And I was just paranoid from the beginning to the end. So when the birth came, I had such like a relief. She was here. I was okay. She was okay. Everyone was okay. We'd managed to get through lockdown. You know, we'd had a C-section, which was absolutely wonderful. But it was the idea of pregnant. I know you had a really easy pregnancy, and I...
Horrible birthday.
Okay, so I kind of... That's the thing. I think that people have wonderful pregnancies have like a not so lovely birth, if that makes sense. Whereas I was like, oh, I don't feel sick anymore. This is a dream.
Yeah, I was pregnant in my first trimester during the first lockdown. Yeah. I mean, that's basically how Tommy moved in. He moved in because we locked down and we made the decision. And I found the first trimester, I was actually really grateful for the lockdown, because I was so tired. Luckily, I was never sick. So I don't want to complain and say it was awful, because I know for a lot of people, they're like, oh, poor you, you were tired in your first trimester. That sounds awful. But instead of having to DJ, I just got to basically sleep and do not very much and work my work around my nap times, basically. And then my second trimester, I think it's the best that I've ever felt in my life. Like, really? Honestly, I was like, I'm on a cloud. And, I just felt like, also because bear in mind that I was very lucky in that I didn't try at all to have a baby. I didn't even want a baby. Like, it was just something that happened. And then, you know, we made a decision to have a baby. And so in my second trimester, I was like, how did I never want this before? This is magic. I honestly felt like, no, why, in a Disney film. And then third trimester, I mean, it got harder, just the more uncomfortable I got. But a positive birth story. I've promised one on here. So how did you make the decision to have a C-section? And just talk me through the whole experience.
So my mum had very traumatic births, And even though she encouraged me to have a natural birth, I don't know why. My sister had had a C-section and she'd had a very positive experience. She had it for medical reasons. I chose to have a C-section. Many reasons. The idea of having a natural birth terrifies me. It just, for me, it's not natural. I know that's wrong. Natural births are completely natural. But I just wanted to go down the C-section route. I wanted to know when it was going to happen. I wanted to know who my consultant was. So I kind of wanted to know what was in the room. I wanted to prepare myself for that experience. And I'd had in my second trimester, I'd had a collapse. And I know occasionally that if I'm in a severe amount of pain, I collapse. So I had one in the second trimester, I'd collapsed, and scarily, I had phoned my consultant and said, look, this is what happened. And he's like, don't go to the hospital. It's really, COVID is crazy. You'll be fine. Stay at home. And he's like, look, just have a think about it. Speak to a couple of friends, see how you feel. Here's the medical information. I'm happy to do either. Go home. And initially I was like, I think the realization of not having a natural birth, I was like devastated. I was like, I'm not going to be a real mum. It took me so long to get pregnant. Now I'm not going to have a natural birth. But then I was like, it really doesn't matter how you give birth. You just need to give birth, basically. That's just the objection, to have a baby at the end of it. And so I decided to have a C-section. I knew when it was going to be, which was really nice. I had my own playlist. So I picked songs that I wanted to listen to.
What were some of the songs? I'm intrigued. Like musicals?
No, I love jazz music. And I was like, what do I want that makes me feel like classical? A lot of people listen to classical music. And I was like, often classical music makes me feel quite sad and emotional. And I was like, I don't want to be feeling that. So I picked my favorite jazz songs that came to my mind, picked them and then sent to Zaf. And I was like, what do you think of these? And he was, of course, he loved them. I don't think he would have objected to any of them at that point. And then Zaf was holding my hand and I was listening to my favorite music, and I had an amazing, is it an anaesthetist? And he was incredible. I had a wonderful midwife who was insane. I did have to wear a mask at the beginning, which was, I found it quite difficult because like when she was coming out, I was like, oh my God, this is happening. I had no pain. It was wonderful, her coming out. I watched her coming out. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of sort of family problems with the placenta, giving birth to the placenta. So the fact is that my consultant could tell me, okay, your placenta's out. We're just going to stitch you up. Yeah, it was lovely. It was so nice.
Could you feel anything? I know that's probably a really silly question, but I don't know anything about C-section.
Because she was quite engaged. So basically they had to use forceps to get her out. So they were pushing your stomach, but it wasn't painful. It was as if someone was giving you quite like a weird massage. Yeah, it was really strange. And then obviously she went away, just had her vitamin K injection, and then Zaf got to clip the cord. But you can do delayed clamping, there's so many different aspects that I felt I was really prepared to know what I wanted to have. And then I wanted her straight on me, then chest, and then she was on me. And I remember thinking she was crying so much, and I was like, oh my gosh, what have we done? Is she going to be a crier the whole time? Yeah, it was really beautiful. I had a really beautiful experience.
Aww. What was the recovery like with the C-section? Because I think what I would fear the most is, like, can you pick them up and is it really painful? But then again, I mean, I was completely stitched open. So
I had absolutely no pain, like nothing at all. Like even afterwards, I was on top of my paracetamol. I obviously knew I was going to give birth. So I asked my mum to come and help. So she was there for 2 weeks. And she basically helped us she just cooked us like our meals and things. So we actually were able to like function. I think it's so important once you've given birth to make sure that you're actually eating, especially if you want to start breastfeeding, eating and drinking.
My friend says actually, for anyone who's mum can't come or is really bad cook, my friend Jazz bought me, are they called cook meals? Yes. And I think they have like a package for new parents.
They have like a 10% or 20% off for new parents. So
that was like, I think, the best gift that we received of all the stuff, because it was just so nice. You're right, like when your world is a bit upside down and you don't know what time it is and day it is, just to get those like amazing meals.
Yeah. And I think because of lockdown, like no one was like this, we weren't in lockdown at that point. We went into lockdown afterwards, but it was nice knowing she had isolated before. So I mean, even reach out to a friend and just say, look, can you just come, and or a sister, a sibling. It just really helped us And a week later after birth, I got neurovirus, and then my husband got neurovirus. So the fact that she was there absolutely saved us, because I remember breastfeeding and I had, was producing no milk because I was still unwell. And I was like a white sheet, and my mother, and she, Rose was screaming, and mum was like, give me her, I'm going to give her a bottle of formula. I was like, no. But I really needed that, to actually someone just to be like, it's okay, we're just going to reset the system and you're going to be fine, and you're going to breastfeed after this, it's fine. But I felt I needed that. And I just think a lot of people want to do it on their own. And my advice is just, if you can get help, or even just setting yourself up, like getting cook meals and things like that. Or a lot of people with C-sections, I had one girlfriend who said, oh my gosh, I couldn't give my baby her first bath. And I was like, why? She's like, I had a C-section. I was like, get a bath on stilts. Like, and that's the thing. I think the problem is, if you have an emergency C-section, you don't think about those things. But if you've had a planned C-section, I spoke to my girlfriends and they're like, get a bath on stilts, and then you can be involved with, you know, the first bath and everything. But I think it's just preparing yourself. And I think there's nothing bad with preparing yourself for a natural birth and a C-section birth, because then you're not sort of disappointed with whatever you get, basically.
Yeah, like you mentioned that you read 9 books, and I mean, yeah, Tommy read more books than me. I don't think I even read a book apart from The Science of Parenting, which I love, but that's because I genuinely, that was more, yeah, when I was born, I just found it fascinating. Did you find, because you did NCT, and at the time when I, yeah, was pregnant, I was like, I don't want to do NCT because I don't want mum friends. And like, yeah, I've got the friends that I have, and I don't need to change my friends. And even Tom and I were talking about it. We were like, do we regret not doing NCT? Because I'm actually a bit jealous of people knowing people that are going through things at the same time. But then I also remind myself that we've also moved house, so we would have moved, yeah, out of the area anyway. But would you recommend NCT, and did you find it really valuable to have people?
I did do NCT. I did Bump and Baby. And I think the most important thing is you meet people that are going through the same thing at that point. Whereas it's okay to have friends, but they might have done it 6 months before you or after you, and you have no idea. I can't remember what happened 6 months, and we have this WhatsApp group that one of the girls set up, and she'd be like, people would remind you of doing, oh, you need to do your first year injection, so you need to do this 6 weeks or 8 weeks, and half the stuff I don't even remember. So it's nice to have like a group of girls that are able to like, oh, how are you dealing with naps, or how are you dealing with like, oh, she's got an allergy to eggs. And there's just a kind of a group where you can just put out, oh, husband's annoying me, or there's so many. I felt that was a real support system, but I don't know if we are closer because of lockdown, because the only thing you could do is walk with one other person. So like every day we'd, you know, just message the group and say, look, who's awake, will someone come for a walk? And there'd always be someone that would do that. The actual course I found rather frustrating in a way. I remember one of the sessions which just drove me mad was they told all the men or the husband's partners to go out and have a coffee or a tea, and we're going to talk about the woman's and what's going to happen to you, like physically.
Shut up. I thought this was a rumor. I've heard this, and I genuinely thought it was a rumor, and I would kick off. I'm glad I didn't do a class, because I would kick off.
I was so livid, because I thought, hang on a second. Obviously we went, my mum left after 2 weeks and she needs 2 knee replacements. There's some things that she couldn't do, but after you've given birth, it is graphic. Your other half is going to see blood coming from everywhere, basically. I mean, that's obviously a bit graphic, but one of the things from C-section is after you've been lying down, you have to stand up, and obviously the nurse comes and they help you and they put down a pad and you stand up, and they're like, they do tell you this is what's going to come out, this is normal. But it's quite, I mean, Zaf was in the room while this was happening. I could hear like it dripping out of me, and that's quite graphic. But the point is,
don't worry about being graphic. It's a mother podcast. It's perfectly okay to say about blood and poo and all, yeah, this, all the glamour of giving birth.
And, you know, and after, and you still have to go to the number 2 after you've had a C-section. And I remember saying to Zaf, I was like, don't come in, that's this toilet. This toilet is closed. I was like, don't bring me the baby. I need to be on this toilet till I've gone to the loo. But there's so many things that happen, especially with breastfeeding, like if you've got cracked nipples, or so much goes on. And they basically told them to leave. And I was like, hang on a second. This man, Zaf, and like, thank God we have been together for a long time, because he's seen the worst and the best of me and everything in between. So he sort of kind of doesn't really care. But I kind of thought, I want him to know what's normal and what he should be helping me with. And also,
Tommy and I had been together for 3 months and he hadn't seen everything, but still I was giving birth to his baby. And that, even for like the recovery process, like they need to know what's going on. And I think this like play, this whole like prudish thing, I'm actually angry for, on behalf of people that it's like so 1950s, like, oh, the men just go have a cup of tea now. We're going to talk about vaginas and your lady bits. And we need to get over that, because actually I think a lot of like relationships, it's that lack of communication around the more, as you say, graphic, I just say genital reality of it. Like, of course they need to know that you might have stitches or that you might have like pain or piles or all of prolapse, all of these things. They need to know, because if this is, again, like, men are not archaic beings that just want sex, but I feel like it would help them to understand that, like, more of what's going on, and also so that they can support you. Let's forget sex for a minute. Like, I mean, I had a prolapse. If Tommy had, if I'd have like sent him off for a tea, even during the first two, like Tommy and I had not done, we'd been, you know, we were in a new relationship. We were definitely not pooing in front of each other, but like, damn, did we high five when I did my first pregnancy poo, first childbirth poo. I was like, yeah, I survived.
We did the same thing, but it's just, and also I remember, I had, you know, obviously you wear nappies even when you've had a C-section. You're not as, most people don't tend to have such a heavy period, blood, whatever you want to call it, after a C-section. But I remember it dropped down on the floor and I couldn't bend over to get it. So I was on the toilet like, Zav, can you come here so you can pull up my nappy? And there's just these things that they like sent him out the room for. And I was just like, what is this? I'm like, I don't understand. It's just like, hang on a second. We've just given birth. You are, there's no night nanny. There's no nannies here. And there aren't night nannies, all this kind of stuff for most people in the world. Why are we not encouraging our partners to understand what females go through to give birth? I just don't understand. For me, it was like mind boggling. I was still supposed to send them an email of how infuriated I was, but I haven't done it yet.
Maybe for everyone listening, we should bombard. We should now bombard them with
that. But saying that, otherwise they were amazing. The midwife was absolutely wonderful. And on the other side, when I spoke to Zaf about it, I was like, I'm so infuriated about this. And I did say to Zaf, I'm so, but he was like, look, you're quite comfortable talking about your body and how things work, but there are women that are not comfortable. So that would have given them the opportunity to ask in that all female environment. And I do get that as well. So I kind of, there's two sides, like it's being open so men understand, but the same, it's sort of, you've got to make a, I don't know what the right answer is.
Let's give them the benefit of the doubt. We can hope that. Yeah. But, you know, one of the other reasons that I didn't want to do like any of the classes to be on a WhatsApp group was because that was actually my fear. Like you said that, you know, it was really comforting for you to have people going through things at the same time. But I think because I was quite, I mean, I don't want to say chilled about it all, but I think my approach is just like not to plan and not to think about it. And maybe it's just having my head in the sand that I like to be like, I'm going to have this amazing holistic experience and, you know, everything's great and everything's rosy. But when things happen, I'm like, okay, cool, this has happened. I can deal with it now. But I don't like to worry about what might happen. I'm like, well, it might not. So what's the point of worrying about it? So the idea of being on a WhatsApp group with people worrying about stuff, I'd be like, well, I haven't even worried about that. Or I don't know, or being like, your baby's sleeping, because my baby's not sleeping. And I was like, I feel like it would be like too stressful for me. But then I also found it lonely.
You've learned what type of person you are, that's who you are. And I learned as a person that I need that. And I think that the best sort of advice you can give to new mums is work out who you are and what's helpful. So if you don't find that helpful, for example, I saw one girl on Instagram saying this book's wonderful for birth. I'm not going to say which one because people love it, but I read it and I was like, what is this utter rubbish? And I was literally like, I'm threw it in the bin. So I knew that wasn't me, but it doesn't mean, you know, you didn't want to join an NCT or a bump boot, and that's fine because that's who you are. But for me, and I don't know if it's my job for like singing, I have to be prepared and I prepare everything to like the minute detail of how I even like walk onto stage. But I knew that I would sort of thrive and know that there's that support system that, you know, you can message people and say, oh, what's happening here? And, you know, we do send other like helpful, oh, my baby's eating this is a good recipe, or this is a good like baby class. I know, I don't know if you've been to many baby classes, but I think I remember you saying that you're not, haven't been to many. Is that right?
Baby swim I have, but I actually I do want to go to baby classes, but because I've been juggling work and one thing or another. And I'm not going to lie, like, this is probably really bad to say, but it's just not really what I enjoy. But I kept planning on it. Now I feel really bad. I kept planning on it. But also, bear in mind, I was in lockdown for the first 4 months of Alf's life, so I didn't get the choice of that. Yeah. But yeah, I love the swimming and, like, the thought of messy play and classes. I'd rather, like, palm that one off to someone else.
Yeah, but you know who you are as a mother, and I think that's a wonderful thing as well. And I think most people are scared to accept, you know, so I had loads of, like you, people like not abusing you but giving their advice, or you should be doing this, or you should be doing that, and I was like, hang a second, I know who I am, I know who, what our relationship is, I'm gonna do this. But that's okay if you don't want to do the classes.
Basically, I feel like the message is be empowered to make the choices that make you feel good, and don't worry if somebody else poo-poos it, whether it's a book or classes or because it would be really easy for like you to be like, what, you haven't prepared for your pregnancy, and I'd be like, what, you have prepared for your pregnancy. But ultimately, do what makes you feel empowered, because that's what you want at the end of the day.
That's the best way to sum it up. You've summed it up perfectly. Do what makes you feel empowered.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Welcome to Paranormal Activity with me, Yvette Fielding, a brand new podcast bringing together people's real ghost, extraterrestrial, and paranormal stories, as well as getting some inside details from those who study the supernatural. I'll be listening through your paranormal stories every week and try to understand them, as well as chatting about my own encounters with an occasional paranormal investigator too. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts from, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Acast. Just search for Paranormal Activity with Yvette Fielding.
You mentioned earlier that obviously when you had norovirus, you had to, well, your mum was like, we need to give formula because you need to get through this. So obviously my journey, and I've just talked about in detail about in a previous episode about giving up breastfeeding and how I found that, but you had an even more of a like abrupt end to your breastfeeding journey. And instead of the norovirus, it was he who shall not be named, the C virus that has dominated our lives. And I've not even spoken, obviously I've messaged and said, I hope you're all right, but you had COVID really badly.
Yeah. I had really badly. I was hospitalized for just under 2 weeks and I got COVID and then I got sepsis. So I was actually dying. I was breastfeeding, basically. I always wanted to breastfeed. I found breastfeeding, unlike pregnancy, really natural. I found it easy. I found the first 2 weeks, I said, you know, it was painful, my nipples cracked, and then I was fine. It was like plain sailing. But I basically was breastfeeding and I got coronavirus 7.5 months. And what makes me really sad, and I've been watching your journey, is that you knew it was the last time that you were going to breastfeed, or you knew it was coming to an end. Whereas I didn't know it was coming to the end. And it's really weird. I just wish I'd had that moment of being like saying goodbye, weirdly saying goodbye to it. But then obviously it never happened. And I was in hospital for 2 weeks. And then the amount of drugs and steroids that I was on, I wasn't allowed to breastfeed her for 4 weeks after that. And they said, oh, you can start, you know, again. And then I just thought, you know what, you actually have to be really well to breastfeed. You have to be eating and drinking and making sure that you're well. And I wasn't well for months after I had coronavirus. So yeah, I found it so difficult. And I was going to say to you, I felt I had to learn how to be a mother again, because I literally came home and I was like, if she was upset, I would just put her on the boob and then happy days. And then I couldn't do that. And she tried to breastfeed and I was just absolutely heartbroken, because it was so traumatic for me. So I feel, you know, you should be super proud of yourself for going to a year. But then at the same time, now I'm like,
I mean, you should be proud of yourself. Like, you did amazing. And also, I feel like everyone should be proud. I feel like even the people who choose not to breastfeed should be proud of themselves, because there's so much. I can't imagine having to go through what you did, because essentially it's not that you just had to give up breastfeeding. Like, you didn't see your daughter for 2 weeks.
Yeah, no, it was completely crazy. Yeah, it was really hard. But it was also a very strange time, because I had such bad oxygen. My oxygen was so low that it actually makes you quite like delusional, like sort of spaced out. So time just went rolled into one big ball. Yeah. So it's a lot. I mean, I'm sort of dealing with it now. So at the moment, I've got post-traumatic stress and have lots of flashbacks and nightmares about what happened to me. And I'm trying to work it all out. But yeah, that was really challenging, being a new mum and having Saf got coronavirus first. And I was looking after him, baby, jog. No one could come and help us, obviously. And then obviously I got completely wiped out. And then no one could help Zaf. He literally was left with a baby who'd only been given breast milk. She just started food. And Zaf, I mean, I remember we have cameras in our house. And I remember watching him. I'd woken up in the middle of the night and he was literally pushing Rose around in the pram at like 3 o'clock in the morning around like the sofa, just doing this. And I just, oh gosh, that poor, I was thinking that poor man. And then I was like, poor me.
Well, poor both of you, because I imagine it must have been pretty traumatic for him. That's the thing, yeah. You know, like whether it's, well, especially if it's COVID, but partners aren't allowed in hospital. I think that about everyone. Like, it must be so hard having someone in hospital that you can't visit, and solo parenting. I think whether you're a dad or a mom, yeah. But thank God that you're here is what I mean. Yeah. I know it wasn't like smooth sailing recovery. And you're right, you know, like since I stopped breastfeeding Alf, it wasn't obviously my decision and it was really upsetting for a couple of days, but it is like becoming, and it's like a new chapter of the motherhood journey, I found, because you're right. If Alf used to be like tired or upset or anything, I'd be like, get my boob out, whack him on the boob. And now I'm like, oh God, I have to entertain him. Or like, oh, what can I do? I like it. Well, I feel like I was really prepared to have post-weaning depression, which I've been told is a thing. And that worried me, because obviously I've had really low moments of motherhood and I was like, I cannot afford to get any lower. I've had really low moments. I've had like suicidal ideation, which is very different to like, I guess I don't need to go into that, but I was like, I literally cannot afford to feel any lower. And now it's actually really nice. Like, I'm so proud of my journey. I would have liked to have gone on longer, but I also feel like I get to wear like cute clothes again and not have to think about breastfeeding being one of those options. I have found that he started eating more and therefore he's starting to sleep better. One but down, very big downside is I used to just whack him on the boob and he'd sleep through till whenever I wanted to get up. Now he is up at 5, like sometimes before 5, but 5, he needs that banana. He needs his morning banana.
Yeah, you've had challenges with sleep. And what I would say, and I hate to say it, but like giving up breastfeeding, I I love breastfeeding, but I also love the fact that now I can actually like leave the house and I don't need to think about pumping or any of that sort. That sort's like a joy.
That is some of my news. I have stopped pumping. I haven't even mentioned that at all on the pod or on social media. I stopped pumping because I actually started using the Alpro Grow Up oat milk. So yeah. Bear in mind, we wouldn't have cow's milk. I was like, what can I replace this with? Because I didn't really enjoy pumping. Yeah. So when I got to the year, I was like, you know what? I do feel like I've done my bit. I wouldn't have ended it this way, but it's ended. And yeah. I don't want to be walking around. Like, hats off to anyone listening who is like pumped for a long period, because it's hard. And I found it to be emotional connection out of breastfeeding for me.
Yes.
And I tried this Alpro oat milk and I was actually planning on slowly I was going to be like, right, I'm going to do 80% breast milk and 20% of this stuff. And I'm going to, he loved it so much. We put it in this, oh, it's right here, actually. This was his nighttime one, in this little Tommy Tippy cup, because he's never had a bottle. And he goes through, so he honestly loves it. And he's not even tried to breastfeed since. It's almost like he tasted the Alpro oat milk and was like, where has this been all my life?
I didn't love pumping at all. I just didn't. But I was speaking to my cousin, who's a midwife and specializes in breastfeeding, and I phoned her because I had quite a at the beginning, the first 2 weeks, I did find it difficult to breastfeed, and I was like, I just want to be able to. And I remember being sent to my midwife sent me to like a breastfeeding specialist who on the NHS, and I was like, look, I want to pump so I can be able to sleep at night. And she was like, this is just what it's like having a baby. And I'd only just given birth. And I was like, how can you say that to a new mum who's like struggling to like feed her baby and trying to like increase her thing? But she said, some women don't pump, like can't pump. I would always be able to breastfeed Rose completely fine and she'd have enough. But when I was actually pumping, I never produced enough. So the idea for me to carry on pumping was just not going to happen. The last time I pumped was in hospital and I had to, and that my breast milk turned up blue with COVID.
Yeah, I've been able to, I think because I did carry on pumping.
Yeah.
I hate the word pumping. I don't know why. I don't know if it's just a really horrible word. I don't know if it's because like boys used to use it in reference to having sex, or my parents used to use it in reference to farting, but I just cannot. I hate the word. Like, I'm saying it and I'm cringing, but I'm glad that I did that thing. I'm glad that I carried on milking myself, because I think it stopped me from having any form of mastitis. I suppose I did just sort of so wind it down. But hats off to all the pumpers out there.
I'm so jealous of the ones that find it easy. I don't understand. I would say if anyone's breastfeeding before, if you do want to breastfeed and you are struggling, get some advice from people, speak to people that understand.
I'm actually going to have a really great guest on soon, Stacey, who's Feed Eat Speak on Instagram. She is an amazing lactation consultant, and the reason that I love her so much is because, unlike, I mean, I don't want to poo-poo the industry because it's an amazing industry, and you know, I think lactation consultants are invaluable. In Germany they're free, in England they're not, but she is so non-judgmental. And I think when something like feeding, it's such a heated discussion, which is mad, because you should be able to feed however you want, and some people can't breastfeed, and you know that any way you feed your child, it's getting fed. Yeah. I was formula fed and I'm perfectly healthy. So she gives really good non-judgmental advice and help and support. So she would help you if you wanted to like be able to feed the bottle to sleep. That's what you needed to be a mom, like her. Yeah. But anyway, I'm going to get her on the podcast because she's amazing.
I remember I got a couple of messages on Instagram saying, I said I was breastfeeding. And then this woman like bombarded me with messages and saying, women that don't breastfeed are disgusting. And I remember finishing breastfeeding and I remember thinking about her being like, oh my gosh, is she going to judge me now? And I was like, are you insane? You just had COVID and just had sepsis. Why do you care about some woman that's just told you that? And I'm like, I don't know why. And I don't know why.
The person that should be judged in that scenario is her, because it's actually not business why people breastfeed or don't breastfeed.
So I gave, my milk came in, but it did take like 2 weeks. And I remember having my first check with my midwife, and we went into the surgery and they were just checking Rose. And they're like, so you're breastfeeding with formula? And I remember going, I gave her one bottle of formula and literally like hysterically crying, thinking that I was like an awful mum. And I know like all the hormones send you completely and utterly crazy, but I remember thinking, I think instead of saying to people, don't do this or don't do that, if you're breastfeeding and need to give one bottle of formula, don't beat yourself up about it. It's just not a big thing. Like, just make sure that you pump or something, or hand express a little bit more so your breast milk doesn't, your sort of supply doesn't decrease. But I think people don't tell you that. So you're just like, I will only breastfeed and I will only do this. And actually you can be a bit more flexible. It's fine. It's not like a big deal.
Whatever works for people, that's basically the message. Do you feel differently? Actually, one thing I do really want to ask you, I love the name Rose so much. And you know, when you're deciding names, so right before we knew if we were having a boy or a girl, we were talking about what do we want, boys' names or girls' names. And obviously, like, sometimes you have to, like, you find out that the other person either doesn't like the name or you can't name that, usually because of an ex. And I was like, if we have a girl, can we call Rose? And Tom was like, oh, no, we can't. And I was like, oh, why? Have you got an ex called Rose? And he was like, no, like, because of the lady from the Titanic. And I was like, what? Why? What's wrong with the lady from the Titanic? And he was like, oh, she's just old. Like, just reminded me. And I was like, yeah, but
it's hilarious.
So if I'd have had a girl,
funny.
He didn't want me. Like, what is wrong with the girl from the Titanic? I was like, sorry, have you got an issue about the Titanic? Like, what is going on? So yeah, but it's such a lovely name. I'm so happy that you have a Rose.
And it's so funny. So my first name was Anastasia. I love the name Anastasia. I love the musical Anastasia. So her second name was Anastasia. And I remember Zaf loves the name Jessica. I was like, no way, we can't have Jessica, because I remember having a boyfriend and he cheated on me with someone called Jessica. And I was like, never, the name Jessica's not coming in. But then, so my middle name is Rose, and I didn't know this till afterwards, but my mum wanted to call me Rose, which I thought was quite a nice little thing. And we spent so much time in Chiswick House, and there's a rose garden, and we couldn't think of a name. And we were trying to think of something that reflected what we went through, COVID lockdown. And Zaf was like, why don't we just call her Rose? And I was like, yeah, that's great. Because we spent so much time in the rose garden. It's just a nice, that was our little sort of happy.
And it's like blooming and I love it. Lovely. Do you feel different as a mum of a one-year-old? Like, was it an emotional thing having a baby turning one?
I was very emotional about it. But now that she's one, I much prefer it. I saw a friend who's just had a baby and I was like, I'd love to have some more children. We'd love to have more children. But I was like, I can't go back, Zaf. I was like, I can't go back to like the newborn stage where it's just like complete chaos. Yeah, it's a lot more, I kind of find, engaging, and she's really exciting, and she's like learning things and words, and like her facial expressions are just so funny. I mean, today she's so sassy at the moment. I'm like, oh my gosh. But yeah, and I still feel like I don't know what I'm doing. I feel like every day I'm discovering something new. And I think you just feel like you're never doing everything right, whether it's work or trying to gain a balance between being old you, new you, work, baby, house, admin, and then your relationship somewhere fits somewhere in there.
And then bring in friendships and all the other hobbies.
This is why you need baby, like, new mum friends, because they're the only ones that understand when you say, oh, do you want to walk at 11 o'clock in the day? They're like, yeah, right, you know, I'm around.
Oh, I've got a couple of non-mum friends who are like just so good with Alpha. You know what, I think I echo what you say. I am enjoying it a lot more since Alpha turned one. And I was like, a bit weird that I loved that newborn stage, like from 0 to 4 months I was on cloud nine, and then I started to find it really challenging and quite monotonous. And I mean, I moved house and I have no mum friends, so I did find it like lonely. And now that, I don't know, I just feel like so much happier. I still think I can't wait for spring to come so that it's easier so of I can course. Go to the playground and stuff. But for anyone that is listening who is still in like the funk at whatever stage you're at, I am finding it so much more enjoyable now. And I mean, I see from social media that Rose is walking. Alf's still not walking, but his little words and actions and standing, I feel like there's just more milestones and excitement at the moment.
It is a lot more exhausting, but I find it almost easier to take her out. So we'll go to like the history museum or science museum or go out, and I know we can do things. Whereas I felt when you were breastfeeding that I was like, oh God, I've got to like you had like this towel, like trying to cover yourself, be discreet. And I found that
I never bothered with a towel. I was like the opposite of discreet. I was like, I deserve to be here. And if you have a problem, that's your problem, not my problem.
It was completely my problem, because I think I'm a bit of a prude that I wouldn't completely cover myself up. I didn't set up like a whole tent, but I just wanted to be discreet about it. But that's completely my problem and no one else's.
Oh, it's not a problem. I mean, it's perfectly, I've got loads of friends who feel very uncomfortable. Yeah. One who felt so uncomfortable that, I mean, she struggles, she doesn't breastfeed in public, Kat Shoup. She was on my podcast a while ago. So each to their own, but I've never done any of the museums because I didn't know if it would engage Alf. Does Rose like them?
Rose loves them. It's like, amazing. We took her to the History Museum and I was like, I went on my own and I was like, oh, how is this going to be? Let's just see. And she absolutely adored and loved it. The only thing I would say is challenge is getting a tube in London is a completely and utter nightmare, especially around Kensington, because they don't have any lifts, even though all the kids go there to all the museums. So
I feel like we could walk for England, but I'm so conscious of the time and the fact that Rose is probably woken up from her nap time. And every week I answer a question from one of my lovely listeners. And so this week it's from Mel. So I thought that I would read it out. I've not even read it yet. And then we can try and both give her some advice. She says, hey, Ashley, I recently heard your episode with Tommy and his obsession with the grow egg. And I wanted to hear your advice on overheating. I'm a new mum of a 16-week baby girl. Congrats, by the way. I have looked everywhere on guides on how to dress my baby for sleep. I live in a really humid area, so much that I need to use a dehumidifier constantly to keep mold away. Things won't dry without the dehumidifier. I've seen some advice after 22 degrees to use a Togwon sleep sack with short sleeve, but it seems a bit cold as I wear a long sleeve shirt to bed. Would love to know what Alf slept in whilst you're away or if you have any tips. I feel like I'm going to let... What did Rose sleep in the summer?
First thing I'll say is that we had one of those egg things and it drove me potty. We had it for a couple of weeks and then just threw it out. We're like, this is ridiculous.
Tommy loved it.
I was like, this is all... We'd be checking it all the time and I'd be like, no, we got rid of it. So Rose is a bit weird because she basically likes to sleep in her onesie, but she hates any of the sleeping bags. So we tried her numerous sleeping bags, tried her with blankets, obviously the ones with holes in. She hates them, so she's a bit of a weirdo that if like we put anything on top of her, she like literally kicks them all off. I mean, obviously read the advice, there's loads of advice on the NHS website and everything that will tell you. But I remember when I went to see the midwife, she's like, feel your baby, like see how your baby feels, like feel the back of the neck. So I mean, babies often have cold hands and got cold feet and that's completely normal, but like feel the back of their neck. If like your baby's like sweating, you need to take some clothes off. If your baby's like freezing, so I think it's just kind of, and this is about the mother's sort of instinct, I just think don't be scared of like feeling, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I feel like I'm probably really bad for advice on this because obviously we co-sleep, which is not technically recommended. So if you do co-sleep, good for you, but if you are thinking of it, make sure you do it safely. And I just pretty much had skin to skin with Alf, so he didn't really need to wear a lot, but he doesn't like anything on him, like sleeping bags, the pram cover, like anything. He will not like having his legs restricted. But what I would say is if what you're saying, Mel, is that your baby doesn't seem to like the sleeping bag, then try just get like a thicker pair of pajamas. But I feel like your advice is pretty good as well, that yes, there are guidelines, but ultimately like every baby's different, so hopefully you'll figure it out. I feel like that's probably really poor advice. So yeah, if you do want to get in touch with anything at all, then I still haven't heard of WhatsApp. You can send voice messages for free. The number is 075-999-27537. It's not my number, by the way, hence why I'm really slow at reading it out because I just like trouble up. But you can also leave a review on Apple Podcasts. That's where I read out loads of the messages as well. And of course, if you like the podcast, then leave a little 5-star review. I'm not going to force you to, but it does help. And if you are enjoying them, don't forget, I feel like such a YouTuber when I say this, make sure you follow and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And Natalie, thank you so much. I love, you've been such a great guest. And it's so nice to remember that there are polar opposite experiences, and both of which are perfectly good and valid. And I just love watching Rose on socials as well. I can't wait to meet her in person.
I know, we should get them together to hang out.
Maybe a history museum or a science museum.
Yeah, now that a I've science museum. Yes, definitely. Thank you so much for having me on. And as That's you said, we got polar opposites and our babies are thriving. So there is no right or wrong way.
What a lovely way to end. Thank you so much for listening to Mum's the Word, the parenting podcast with me, and I'll be back same time, same place next week. Different guest.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.